Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome back into Hour 2 of The Drive. How you doing? Brad Fanning, Jay Binkley, in for CDOT today. Nick the Quick, pushing buttons and stuff. Hey, Nick, what was the pop quiz?
Pineapple Express.
You know, I've never seen that movie.
It's amazing. I think it's one of two or three movies that Seth Rogen's actually wrote the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
I think he's funny as heck. I actually have the movie on DVD, and it's still in the wrapper.
Go watch it tonight.
Okay, I'll do it. Jay Binkley in for Carrington Harrison today. I'm back after what feels like maternity leave. Been so long. And we are now joined in studio.
You didn't lose any of that belly fat.
You look in the mirror yet there, Tubby?
You're still 4'6".
I'm 5'6".
I can always lose weight. You can't gain height.
Well, that's a good point. Pete Sweeney, Joel Thorman from Arrowhead Pride are in studio with us. Guys, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to both of you as well.
You guys is uncomfortable, anxious, weird about this football game we're going to be having a week from Saturday over at One Arrowhead Drive?
No, I'm totally relaxed this week.
You're such a liar.
This is the best week because you can actually sit down and enjoy the games and watch them. Team having a first-round bye doesn't happen very often. So I'm excited to actually watch games this weekend and not have to be glancing, you know, at work.
So you're basically in denial then. You're just like, you're blocking out the Chiefs part of this thing.
I'm a little nervous, but
I think you picked the perfect year and like the worst year to step back, because I think it's been the busiest because of how good they've been. Yeah. So I think I'm ready for a weekend break as a writer. But it's going to be awesome. Once I think that you know who you're playing and you know who to be afraid of, that's when I think the fear will start to set in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you basically have the boogeyman and the Colts as a possibility, correct?
Right.
Or you've got a team that beat you here, or a team that should have beat you here.
Yep.
In the Ravens. So, yeah, I don't feel real good about it.
There's no obvious team that you really want to play. I don't think, like, I feel like the Colts, Chargers, Ravens all kind of feel about the same. Like, yeah, the Chiefs are better than them, but, like, would I put a few hundred bucks in the game? Probably not, you know?
Well, the thing about it is, it's also a weekend of scouting, Joel and Pete. It's watching to see the Chiefs' next opponent and see the matchup.
I feel like Binkley's teaching you and lecturing you.
I just enjoy it. You know, do you take anything away from the way the defense played? No defensive penalties. They got the two picks off of Derek Carr, hadn't thrown one in 10 weeks.
No.
See, I take something away from it, and I know the Raiders aren't the best team in the world.
It's true.
But John Gruden was citing last week about how the 99 team ended up playing on, what, January 2nd of 2000. The Chiefs could have made the playoffs had they won that game, because Seattle had lost that day.
Right.
They would have had a home playoff game. Chiefs built a 17-0 lead and lost. And Gruden was selling all week about – what this week would mean, you know, going forward for the Raiders in the future, the fact that they could, you know, have a quality road win and be able to build on this in the future. So it's not like the Raiders rolled over and played dead. I thought.
I don't know. they look pretty bad.
They could have gone from fourth to ninth.
They could have had about four interceptions in that game too. They did.
Yeah, it's hard to take much out of it just because the way they spanked them so bad, and the Chiefs have played well like all season. Like if you're a team like last week, Dak Prescott and the Cowboys threw for 300-something yards, four touchdowns. Like I feel like that's a pretty good week 17 that you can take that momentum in to the next week, but. Chiefs, I don't know. I'm not sure that there's much to learn about. Raiders were a dead team.
Well, it's better than giving up 33 points like they did December 2nd.
True. It's three points is better than 33.
It's better
than
a kick in the gut, too.
No, I think here's the thing. The 2006 Colts defense was so pathetic. It was so bad. That was going to be the thing that held them back. They were the worst team in run defense.
Larry Johnson, the Chiefs were going to beat them.
32 yards for Larry Johnson that day on 14 carries. They shut him down, and that defense really carried. Colts, Peyton Manning wasn't exceptional that year in the postseason, but that defense for the Colts got good. I guess I'm hoping the Chiefs catch lightning in the bottle like the 2006 Colts.
There's two sides of it for me. On one side of it, you can only play who's on your schedule. They looked as good as they could against the opponent they had week 17.
Sure.
Granted, I would have liked it to be a quarterback that maybe was a little bit better than Derek Carr. I understand he hadn't thrown an interception in 10 games. The Chiefs got two. That being said, I worry about this team against a quarterback that can kind of go toe for toe with Pat Mahomes. That certainly isn't Derek Carr.
No, I mean, it's Phillip Rivers is who it is.
And all the
Andrew Luck. Or Andrew Luck or Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what worries me a little bit.
In hindsight, was it good for the Chiefs, I guess, to lose the Seahawks that they had to play their starters? Oh. So their starters weren't sitting out. I know it's
because they would have been out for 3 weeks.
Good, but, you know, sitting down for a couple of weeks, you know, Mahomes got in there and got the record. He wouldn't have got that. He wouldn't have got the 5,050 touchdowns had the Seahawks beat him. And I guess it's okay to say now because they beat the Raiders and they locked up the AFC West.
And they didn't get anybody major hurt.
Dan Hughes said that on the show, too. I had him on last week, and he's like, you know what? It's not the end of the world because they have to play their starters. You know, they have to go out and play these guys. They can accumulate all these records, which really mean nothing if you don't win in the postseason. But I guess in hindsight, they starters did play, so that was good, and nobody really got hurt.
And it feels so hard to figure out exactly what momentum is in the NFL. Like, if you like, I've seen the Chiefs look terrific one week and, you know, not as great the next week. So I don't know if momentum's like necessarily a real thing. And I think already having the bye coming up kind of negates anything, you know, that you really would have gotten out of that game.
Well, we're talking to the Arrowhead Pride guys, Joel Thorm and Pete Sweeney in studio. Pete, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. And I do feel better about this, and you and I were texting about this earlier today. The difference in the feeling between a Mahomes playoff-bound team and an Alex Smith playoff-bound team. If this is an Alex Smith playoff-bound team, first off, they wouldn't have a bye week. You know, they'd probably be on the road somewhere.
Wait, didn't they a couple of weeks ago or a couple of years ago?
They had one again. Yeah, that was the Steelers. Yeah.
They would have had an extra loss. Probably.
But, I mean, it does, like, I am concerned about it because I don't feel like this defense is going to be good enough to get us where we want to go, especially with the offense that we have. But it does feel – I do feel better with Mahomes as the quarterback than I did with Alex Smith. And maybe that's obvious, but, I mean, I have a little bit more hope. But I got to be honest with you, not
Where's
much.
Where's the breaking news sounder?
Not much. Not much because of the defense.
You have to have more confidence given it's Patrick Mahomes. It's completely different when you have him because he's among the elite quarterbacks. I mean, you see – a little bit in the NBA, I think sometimes in football when you think of Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers is that you can kind of put the team on your back if you're an elite quarterback. I look at this AFC playoff tournament, and what worries me, I think, more than anything is I just think all the teams you can make a case have a big weakness. They have their strength. It's pretty even. Like, you can make a case for any of the teams coming out where I think in the NFC you look at the Rams, the Saints, and the Bears, I think they're pretty good bets, you know? AFC, you take your pick. You can make the case. I like having Mahomes because I think in a situation like this where the teams are so evenly matched, you want to have an elite quarterback. And if you don't, like I'm looking at you, Baltimore Ravens, even though they have the top defense, I don't think they advance here.
They don't have the quarterback. I'm already penciling the Saints in the Super Bowl because Drew Brees is amazing in domes.
Yeah.
Guys, he only has 11 touchdowns on the road to Mahomes 31. Do you know that Drew Brees has only thrown for 300 yards once on the road? And that was in Atlanta in a dome. And just dome for the Saints to get to the Super Bowl, dome, and then the Super Bowl's in a dome. I'm just looking at this going, penciling, you know, them in. I think the AFC is so much more wide open than the NFC.
And Brees has those down games that Mahomes doesn't. Like, if the Chiefs are going to lose in a couple of weeks, they're going to lose 35-30. Like, there's not going to be another Steelers game where it's like 18-16 or 18-15, whatever that score was a few years ago. So I take some solace going into this going like, okay, like, I know they're putting up 28, 30 points at least, like, even on a bad day.
Right, and again, you just never know what Patrick Mahomes, like someone the other day at the press conference asked, well, what do you tell Patrick Mahomes given it's his first ever career playoff game? And Andy Reid's, I'm not really worried about that. I think he'll be ready to go because he now has had a year to sit. He's seen a playoff game last year. He didn't play, but he's seen one. He's had a 16 games. They're treating it like every other week. Like, Andy Reid is Mr. Routine. Again, they're treating it like every other week. They said they're going to work out at the beginning of this week, and then the guys are going to get the weekend off, and they come back, and it's just like a regular game week. So the more, I think, regular you can keep it, it's a home game. Win your home game, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're here in the mix.
We're talking to Pete Sweeney and Joel Thorman from Arrowhead Pride. They're in the 3 o'clock hour here in studio at 610 Sports Radio. I am worried about Mahomes at least a little bit in the beginning because I think we've seen him come out in bigger games, whether it's a primetime game. You know, the first time that he's experienced something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he was a little bit amped up in that Patriots game, you know, up there, missed Kareem, you know, on that wide open stuff a little bit, but he gets it. I think he'll have a good overall performance in the playoff game, but the first experience that he has, sometimes he's a little off. I mean, I think that's fair.
And even on the big games, like I know what you're talking about. Even on the Rams game, I feel like they started a little slow considering how it turned out. But on those games, at the end
and
of the
I think
day,
that's
you
normal
scored
too. I'm not bagging on for him.
Right,
he's a young kid, man. He's never been in a playoff game before.
He still scored 40 against the Patriots, 51 against the Rams.
Yeah, and so keep in mind, Belichick had 3 extra days to prepare because they'd played on Thursday night the week before. I felt like he threw the kitchen sink at Pat Mahomes in the first half. Obviously, that Dante Hightower interception confused him. I think those 3 extra days. That was Mahomes going against the greatest kind of
screw-with-you
genius in the NFL. In the second half, he made the adjustments, and I'd really like – that might be my favorite Mahomes game.
They brought all different kinds. If you heard the coaching staff talk after that, that was the first time Mahomes saw different schemes, different like blitzing packages, and they were really – you know, that was his almost welcome to the pro game. He didn't come out with the victory, again, because of the defense, but to go toe-to-toe with Tom Brady I thought was a win. A lot of people forget about this because people say, oh, Mahomes isn't that great in prime time. The Bengals game at home was a prime time game. Sure. It's not the prime time games. It's these other teams that are really good in the NFL. He hasn't been victorious yet, but you know what? He's gone through that experience. And listen, playoffs start, you're 0-0. It's new life. So I don't think you take from what you have from the regular season and say, oh, he won't be able to do it now in the postseason under the lights.
Well, here's the thing, too, and this is a tweet from Field Yates from ESPN. I thought this was really put things in perspective because I've heard the offense had a chance to put it away against the Chargers, you know, and got a 3-and-out. Well, okay, but they also scored a ton of points too. He had a 14-point lead 3 times in a row. So there's a guy on Twitter, he said 2-4 against playoff teams is why Mahomes won't win the MVP. Well, you're wrong. He's going to win the MVP. But I thought Field Yates' response was really good. In the Chiefs' 4 losses, threw for almost 337 yards, almost 4 touchdowns, and the Chiefs average almost 38 points a game. I'm sorry, it's not your quarterback's fault.
And three of those losses, Patriots, Rams, and who am I forgetting? The Seahawks. Sure.
Yeah.
On the road, pretty big difference. Like their home road splits on defense is significant.
On
like
the road in playoff teams. Points. The Bears lost to the Packers, not a playoff team. The Bears lost to the Dolphins, not a playoff team. They just lose to the Giants towards the end of the year. Not a playoff team, but all of a sudden the Bears are a sexier team. Patrick's not losing to non-playoff teams.
It's not Mahomes, though, man. It's the defense.
This is all you have to say when it comes to the MVP race. Unreal that still nationally it's a discussion. Maybe it's just filler. 50 and 5,000. How are you going to argue that person shouldn't get the MVP?
Yeah, there's not an argument.
He's also the only quarterback to do it in 5,000 in college and the pros.
Yeah, that's insane. His numbers from college to the pros were remarkably similar. I could not believe that.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to these guys about what the best playoff matchup would be for the Chiefs in the division around here in Kansas City week from Saturday. Stay with us.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Welcome back into The Drive, second segment, our Arrowhead Pride Roundtable with Joel Thorman, the Blog Father, Pete Sweeney. We call him two things around here, Blog Boy or Sweet Peony.
Sweet Peony.
I have never heard that.
You've never heard Sweet Peony?
And we do not call him that.
I call him Sweet Peony all the time.
I called him the next Ian Rappaport long ago. I discovered Pete, and my old boss thinks he did.
The old boss.
Let the boss keep thinking that, man.
Pete's not going to come back here anymore after this.
Pete's the one that told me that's what people used to call him, right? He's
growing up.
Yeah.
On the b-ball court, they go.
Pete is on 610 Sports Radio more than the traffic report.
It's true.
Who do you guys want to see in the playoffs, in the division?
Right? Man, flip a coin. I guess I'll rank by who I want to see. The Ravens first.
Because of the quarterback?
Yeah, because I just, the quarterback mostly. Chargers, and then Colts, and my reasoning there is I don't want to get in a shootout. I think that's shown how you beat the Chiefs. You beat them 45-40, and I think Andrew Luck is the one most capable of doing that and getting on some insane hot streak. And yes, I've got some bad memories of those Colts a few years ago. So yeah, I'd go Ravens. I want to see first, then Chargers, and Colts.
And Ballard's there, and
Knows your team.
Two offensive linemen started for them last week. Evan Bain, Lisa West, Braden Smith, Olathe South. They have this local thing going. But it is the Colts, and they're a top 10 defense, scoring defense, and top 5 scoring offense. So they're a pretty balanced team. A lot more balanced than the 1-5 team that they started out. Remember, this team 1-5.
Yeah,
and they've showed a lot of resiliency coming back.
They're much better than the 6th seed, it seems like. Yeah, 1-5. I can't believe it was that bad to start with.
I think that this is tough because like I was saying before, they are all close. It almost is like it really doesn't matter because I think each opponent is going to be tough. But I think if you had to pick, I like the Chiefs' chances. I kind of opposite Joel. And again, that's to show how I think even these teams are. I think you want to see maybe the Colts first. I think about the fact that the Colts haven't seen, the Colts defense I'm talking about, not Andrew Luck, hasn't seen Patrick Mahomes. I think you have a little bit of an advantage if you are a team that either beat you, if you're Patrick Mahomes, or should have. If you think about that Ravens game, there were two fourth downs, fourth and nine and fourth and three, where the Ravens pretty much should have won that game. So
Ravens definitely should have won that
game. There's already some belief in the L.A. locker room and Baltimore that they could come in and win the game. Whereas the Colts defense, you can watch on film, but once you get Patrick Mahomes on the field, that's a whole other story, and I just like that first time having to deal with really this wonder kid, the MVP of the National
Football League. It's a great point. That's actually a great point that you make about not seeing Mahomes yet. The Ravens, they had the ball 10 minutes and 36 seconds in the third quarter. I mean, they played ball control game, and they kept Mahomes over on the sideline. The Chargers, one time of possession, too, and Anthony Lynn said the week before the game, he was talking about the Ravens game. Someone asked him a question. He says, yeah, I watched it, and you use your offense for your defense. And I was kind of like, okay, he gets it. This is how you beat the Chiefs. You keep Mahomes on the sideline.
It would be kind of poetic if the Chiefs had to go and beat Indy and beat New England to finally get over, two big humps here.
I mean, that's where I was going to go. That's right. Why I want the Colts. I want to slay the dragon, man. Give me the boogeyman. You know, I want to get that out of the way. I'm not kidding. And I know this Colts team, excuse me. My bad. I had a candy bar. I got a peanut stuck in the back of my...
Didn't you give me crap about doing that?
No, I know. But I went full disclosure, in the commercial break, I'm like, man, I need a snack. So I just rocked a...
You're not you and you're hungry.
I know. I rocked a Snickers and I thought I got all that. There's a little tiny piece of peanut back there. Anyway, I just... Now I got the fresh.
Full disclosure, for sure.
Well, I mean, I just want people to know what the hell's going on around here. I mean, that's what goes on. And, you got to eat fast, got to drink fast in the commercial break. I want the Colts, man. I want, and because I think the Chiefs can beat them first and foremost, and I think they can beat them in Kansas City. But I want it just to let's get these guys out of our head, man. Let's get the Colts out of our heads, out of our collective fan base heads. I mean, four times the Colts have ruined our world. That's why I want the Colts.
In recent years, too, the
totally Chiefs, selfish, by the way.
Even before Mahomes, I think the Chiefs have started to check off these things. Like, for years, it was the AFC West. Now the Chiefs are the team to beat in the AFC West. Yeah. It was winning at Heinz Field. They've won now at Heinz Field.
And they're beating the Broncos. Get over that hump.
Beating the Broncos. And so that, I think, beating the Colts in a big spot, especially against Andrew Luck. We all know what happened the last time. I think getting over that mentally for the fan base, I think more so even the players on the team, would be just a boost as you go through.
And if the Colts win, it also gets Deshaun Watson out of here. A guy that went over 4,000 yards and had over 500 yards rushing, gets him out of the postseason.
So you'd be most afraid of Texans and Deshaun Watson out of the other teams?
I think Watson can do a little Russell Wilson type stuff. He can turn that third and five into a first down, take that third and nine into a first down by scrambling. That part scares me. Lamar Jackson can do that too, but I'm not worried about him back there throwing. And Watson, I would be throwing. Now, if I was a Bills fan, I'd be throwing up because they had a chance to get Watson and Mahomes.
Here's the thing, though. Back to what I was saying, and I wanted to finish this. Even when the Royals won or clinched a playoff spot back in 2014, right? And what happened over the previous 30 years had nothing to do with Jerod Dyson and Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas. But you know what? They heard about it. They all knew about it. They all knew about the history, about how hard it was, and they never got back here, and they never did this. You cannot tell me that even though the majority of those guys in that locker room had nothing to do with that last Colts loss, you cannot tell me that the people that these current players don't fully understand that this team has not won a playoff game here since Joe Montana was here, and the Colts have ripped our souls out. For four times, dating all the way back to what, 1995?
January 96, man.
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, so because they'll know it. They'll know it, and they'll feel it because the city will completely feel it.
I think there is an aspect of that for sure, but Patrick Mahomes saying the other day, this is a whole new generation, I thought spoke volumes.
And he's right. He's right, but they know. They know that they have
It's more of a fan base thing than a team.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is I think the team feels it because the Royals felt it. We don't think about it. That had nothing to do with us. What happened in 1994? And then the first thing they say after they, clinch in Chicago and beat the White Sox, man, 30 years, get that monkey off. They know.
Do you think
it's just like Philip Rivers was denying the streak, losing nine in a row to the Kansas City Chiefs. And then when he won on the field after the game, I was trying to act like it wasn't a streak, but I knew it was a streak. You know what I mean? So that's why I think it'd be good just to kill the boogeyman, slay the dragon.
Can you see Andy Reid bringing up Joe Montana and how long it's been since the Chiefs won a home playoff game in this locker room?
I can't see him doing it.
Not at all. No, not at all. I think you're right that some of them will know,
yeah.
Especially guys like Mahomes, who's kind of in tune with the
Dustin
city.
Dustin Colquitt.
Oh, yeah, he'll know. I mean, he was here in 95, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think, well, yeah. What was he drafted, 1990?
No, he was drafted in 06. Banning so is here for the second Colts
game. I think he was
game.
Drafted in 86. Wasn't
Banning
he?
Is still bitter about Super Bowl I. He can't get that out of his mind with the Packers. I do want to ask you guys this question because this gets brought up to me a lot and argued about it. What would deem the season a success if we're sitting here after the season looking forward to the offseason? Is it Super Bowl or bust? Because we do ask Rich Gannon this question coming up at 4:30. Is it getting to the AFC title game, something they hadn't done since Joe Montana? A chance for the Lamar Hunt Trophy actually to go to Clark Hunt instead of Bill Belichick every year. What would be a success? Because we've all had to kind of, you know, change our expectations. We have a 5,000-yard passer, 50 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill sets a receiving record for the Chiefs. Travis Kelce sets a reception record for the Chiefs. We've seen some historic things for this team. The defense could hold them back, but Pete, what would be a success for this team and a failure?
I think at this stage, you got to win that first game. If you can get to the AFC title game, I mean, they haven't done that since Andy Reid has gotten here. I think finally you approach that, and you have now this quarterback for the next 15 years, something to build upon. I also think to the AFC title game, and say you do lose this game, and it's because of this crazy shootout where, like, yeah. On a Monday night, you lose 54-51. That is going to be a bad taste. If you get to the AFC title game, you play your heart out, you flat out get beat by the better team. I think that's one thing. It's going to change a lot of people's mind, and a lot of people are going to be looking at the front office if they lose another game where it's in the 50s and the defense just couldn't get one stop.
Yeah.
Sitting here right now with the future MVP, I should say the Super Bowl, because you're the number one seed. That should be the target.
And the last five number one seeds have gone to the Super
right,
Bowl.
Right. So, and I think that's totally defensible. If I sit here with the benefit of some perspective about the Chiefs franchise, where they've been, haven't been, as Pete said, to the AFC Championship game since Jim Kelly and Don Beebe and Cornelius Bennett were playing in 93.
Oh, yeah.
Just getting to the AFC title game, I feel like would be okay. I feel like that would be a sign of success for this season. It's a step further than where you've been. It's Mahomes' first year starting, so you're looking at this as the first of many AFC championship games. It's not like the Alex Smith year, we're like, okay, this is our one best shot, and like we're not going to get another one. So if they get to the AFC title game and have a good showing, I think you're looking at it like the future is bright now. But of course, number one seed, MVP.
Any
other rational national person says it's Super Bowl or bust.
It's taking steps like Favre did with the Packers.
Yeah, I'm going to be pissed if they waste this offense and don't get to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's what it comes down to me. Because part of me will be really happy because we have an AFC title game in Kansas City for the first time in the history of Arrowhead, and we get to see that. But to waste this type of offense and not get there would just make me want to throw a trash can through a window. When we come back, one of the guys that's the architect of that great offense, drawing a lot of interest around the NFL. We're going to ask the guys about Eric Bieniemy when we come back.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Welcome back into The Drive. Happy Hump Day. Happy New Year. I'm back. Brad Fanning here alongside Jay Binkley. He's filling in for CDOT today. CDOT was in here a little under the weather today. I think he's going to the dock, maybe. I'm not sure. Hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. If not, he'll be back on Friday. We're also joined in studio by our Arrowhead Pride guys. It's the Arrowhead Pride Roundtable each and every Wednesday from 3 to 4. We've got Joel Thorman and Pete Sweeney. Fellas, good to have you in, man. And as I said before.
Always a party in here.
Yeah, it is a party in here, even with Binkley in. And his five rock stars and his six Nazes and his can of chew and his spitter.
At least I don't have a peanut stuck in the back of my throat.
I know. Boy, that was bad, man, with that Snickers that I had. All right, so Eric Bieniemy is really interesting to me. So he's got four interviews lined up for head coaching jobs, Chiefs offensive coordinator. The Jets, the Bucs, the Dolphins, the Bengals, and to tell you how much of a mess the Cardinals are, he declined that interview. Isn't that terrible?
Why would you go? If you had multiple offers at this point, they gave Steve Wilkes 1 year. Why would you ever even try to go there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, why
but
would
it's still one of 32 jobs in the league. I would take Arizona. Phoenix is a lovely place.
I don't think I'd touch the Bengals job either, to be honest with you.
That's job security like crazy. Marvin Lewis held on that thing forever.
If you turn all these down, you can hang with Andy Reid for another year and keep waiting. That's like the real benefit of being in that position.
The guys that have been in the league and really start to have options because of success will wait for the job. I mean, I heard some things where Chris Ballard had turned down jobs just because he wanted the right situation.
Sure.
So, I mean, if you go in it, you only might get one crack at this. So you want to make the most of it.
You have to be careful, though. Brent Venables, defensive coordinator at Clemson, you know, he passed up so many opportunities to be a head coach. He's not a head coach now. I mean, he's got to be careful.
Yeah, but your star is not gonna go down under Andy Reid.
No, it's not as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, like it'll keep going up. This path has been so well worn that it's obvious.
Well, Andy's calling the plays. I mean, Bienemy's gravy training free here. The other ones at least called plays.
I mean, Nagy and Peterson have both been under that tree, and they both had success. Like it's one of those things. There's not that many qualified head coaching candidates, I think, and so you look at. You go to the Patriots' assistants. You go to Andy Reid's guy. Like, that's just what you do.
I mean, I'd rather go to the Chiefs' assistants and Andy Reid's assistants before we go to the Patriots.
Well, 25% of the league is Andy Reid or his assistants.
Yeah. Right.
I'm curious, and we asked Rich Gannon about this, and he'll talk about it coming up at 4:30 today. But this can be somewhat of a distraction. I don't think it's going to be a huge distraction. I think it helps that the Chiefs have a bye week. But if you got your offensive coordinator and a guy that, based on everything that I've read about Eric Bieniemy, guys seem to really like and really respect. And you've got that guy interviewing for jobs, and you're getting ready to play a playoff game. Pete, you think is that an issue? I mean, you've been in that building.
I don't think so. I think Andy Reid keeps it so that these guys, you know, they can split focus enough where you look at the guys that have gotten jobs in the past. I mean, I know Dave Tobe's been on a bunch of interviews, but Matt Nagy got a gig.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson got a gig, and they were in the playoff mix at that point. I understand the playoffs didn't work out necessarily.
Yeah, playoff games? Any of those?
I don't think, you know, just because he's going to lose focus by any means. And it's a little bit different, I think, in Bieniemy's case, because I don't, from what you hear and the rumblings and so on and so forth, I don't think he's as involved as the play calling as those other guys were to me. So, even so, they've seen two of these three opponents as it is. I'm okay right now, I think, with Bieniemy just taking these offers.
And you mentioned how well-liked and how well-respected he was. I think, like, at that level, they want to see him get a job. They want to see him make a few million bucks a year, so they're happy for him. I don't think there's any bad feelings or anything like that if he ended up getting a job. And, you know, it happens every year. If you're an Andy Reid coach team, you're going to have one of those assistants interviewing someplace.
I saw something, too, that I believe if you're getting interviewed and your team is still alive, it has to happen in your city. So that
the Jets said they came here.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. So they have to come. They have to come here to interview the candidate.
Bears did with Nagy, too. And the one thing about it is Reid's got a rule. You don't hire my assistants. He made that clear to Doug Peterson. You don't take anybody I have.
At least the guys he really likes.
I mean, personally, I think you could take
the scrubs.
I think Dave Tobe would be such a bigger loss than Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Dave Tobe, so much this year, but I think he's been responsible for one or two wins a year with the Chiefs in what he's done. And losing a guy like Dave Tobe to me would be a bigger hit. And I'll never forget Dustin Colquitt said this in one of our fantasy football training camps. He's like, think about a special teams coach. They talk to more people than anybody else. If you're the offensive coordinator, you're dealing with the offense. Defensive coordinator, defense. But special teams, you're dealing with everybody. And not only that, you're taking, you know, some of the back end of the roster guys that get cut on you and you have to train somebody else to do it. But Dave Tobe is so instrumental in the success of the Kansas City Chiefs in field position. To me, that would be a much bigger loss than Eric Bieniemy.
And this year, it won't happen. But moving forward, say Bieniemy does get one of these four jobs, which I think is possible.
I like
his personality. I think he can lead a football team. Mike Kafka is the name to watch because he's been with Mahomes ever since he's been drafted to the Kansas City Chiefs. So say he's the one who's an offensive coordinator or he stays in the quarterback coach role. He's critical now. Tobe's a name that you wouldn't want to lose, and Kafka now, I think, is another name, given how successful Mahomes was this year.
Look at the Chiefs' offense the last several years. It's been pretty good the entire time. You lost Peterson, you lost Nagy, you may lose Bieniemy, and the offense is going to be probably just as good. Maybe it declines a little bit.
Because you got the mustache.
Cliff Kingsbury's entertaining NFL jobs now at this point. To me, that is the guy who would have backed up the Brinks truck to be your offensive coordinator. The Chiefs ran a lot of Texas Tech plays. As a matter of fact, Gary Patterson at TCU played a Thursday night game against Texas Tech. And he said he watched Chiefs game film to prepare for Texas Tech. That's how similar they are. I'm shocked the AFC West hasn't made more of a run at Cliff Kingsbury. But he just got hired at USC, but his eyes are still open. That's a guy that I would honestly consider, if he doesn't have what he wants, bringing into Kansas City. I've said this for like 2 years. That's the guy I'd want. He knows what NFL offenses are right now because they copy his mold. He can't hire defensive coordinators worth a lick like he did at Texas Tech, but the guy knows offense.
I was surprised he took that college job, just because I feel like he could have waited and gotten a lot more interest from both college and the pros.
Well, he's starting to get it from the pros.
Yeah, I think he could have a shot at
Arizona,
a job. Yeah, and it would be a very NFL thing, how it's like so trend, like you follow the latest trends in the NFL and everyone's copying college offenses. So
yeah,
like,
totally.
It would be such an NFL thing for a guy who gets fired by Texas Tech to get a head coaching job.
Which
in the
to
NFL
me,
and he's applying for the Jets ridiculous. Job too. He's getting interviewed by the Jets.
To think Cliff Kingsbury or somebody like Lincoln Riley could just go to the NFL and crush it, to me, it's just it's unbelievable to me.
Maybe Mahomes is starting to get that. Didn't Manning have a few years, or even Brady, where they were always losing their coordinators or quarterbacks coaches because you were connected to Brady or Manning?
So
maybe it's kind of a Mahomes thing happening here.
Johnny Manziel got David Beatty his job, and he admitted, because he got a lot of attention. He was a wide receivers coach at A&M and recruiting coordinator. He's at Kansas because of the success of Johnny Manziel and Mike Evans.
Do you guys think if Eric Bieniemy gets a head coaching job that he'll take Bob Sutton with him?
I hope.
I mean, could you think that's a possibility?
I think Reed would have that one.
Will he take Emmett Thomas and Bob Sutton and Al Harris with him?
A quick thing on that. There's this big misconception in Kansas City that no matter what happens, Bob Sutton's gone after this year.
Yeah, no,
I got news for you. Yeah. If you get to an AFC title game or win a Super Bowl, ain't no one getting fired probably. You know what I mean? So everyone just chill on Bob Sutton. He's probably going to be here next year. I don't know what the thought process is with the fan base that says, oh, he's going to be gone. We should be looking at this guy. The Chiefs have a defensive coordinator, and they're on the cusp of a Super Bowl. Teams that are doing that don't fire their staff.
Well, they ought to at least look at it when they're giving up 30-some-odd a game.
But when the media starts to laugh at you, you know you've lost it. Because what Mellinger threw back at Bob Sutton last week.
Oh, that was.
When that happens, you got to say, we can't have the media make fun of the defensive coordinator.
Rest
that
in
was,
peace, Bob.
He destroyed him. He destroyed
Sutton.
What did
Sutton. He do? What did he say? I was like, I was out of the mix.
So Sam was at the press conference with Bob, and there was an exchange where Sam said to Bob, almost in a joking fashion, I like the word juice, because Bob had used juice to describe Tre'Davious Ward.
Uh-huh.
And Bob Sutton said, oh, that's bad. I shouldn't be describing like kind of playing with Mellinger. And Mellinger said, yeah, that's bad for me. And the whole media started laughing. And then
Bob, you're done.
And then they buried Bob shortly after.
Yeah, and he's done. All right, we got to take a break. We come back, final segment with the guys. I want to ask him about Eric Berry. And I want to ask him, what this defense is going to look like with or without him as we head into the playoffs. Stay with us.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Sitting here watching the greatest bowl moment of the year when Bevo the Longhorn went after Ugga the Bulldog last night.
Remember Ralphie, the Colorado Buffalo?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite mascots as well.
I didn't think they let Ralphie down on the field now. I could be wrong.
No, they do. They let him run. Like the Buffalo. Mike Price did a whole thing on it.
Isn't there a tiger too?
Or Mike Leach, excuse me. Didn't LSU have a tiger?
Is it Mike the Isn't it Mike the Tiger?
I don't know, man. It's a good question.
I'm not a huge fan of mascots, but I like live ones.
They were very close to a bad situation last night with Bevo.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Bevo would have killed the dog?
I would have been horrible.
It's not like that. It's not like Bevo was in like a pen. It was like those partitions that they used just to keep the crowd back.
There was a picture of one of the photographers. I think it was for AP or whatever. The bad AP. The lame.
Yeah, the other AP.
Yeah. And
Associated Pride.
Had a cut on his back. Or like not a cut, but like a bruise from getting in the way.
You got a giant animal with giant spikes coming out of his head. Yeah.
Think about the Florida Gators if they had a real gator.
Yeah, maybe they do. I don't know.
College football games would be a lot more exciting if they involved the animals.
Let the mascots. If the game's lame, let the mascots fight.
Yeah. Put the gator in with the longhorn. Pete Sweeney, Joel Thorman from Arrowhead Pride.
Who'd win that? I'd take the gator in there.
In studio. Guys, I want to run this by you real quick. This is from NFL Media on Twitter. They're the top five most viewed NFL games of the regular season. Number one was Redskins and Cowboys. Number two was Bears and Lions. Number three was Eagles and Cowboys. Number four New England and Pittsburgh, and number five was Pittsburgh and New Orleans. Where's our Kansas City Chiefs? I thought the Chiefs were supposed to be this big
Chicago and Detroit
national
biggest
brand.
Head scratch.
Thanksgiving days.
Yeah,
I thought the Chiefs and Mahomes were going to become this big national brand. Does this say anything to you?
No, I think it's always going to be like that because it's going to be the Patriots. It's going to be the NFC and AFC East teams, and that's I feel like the way it is every year. That's why the Cowboys, even when they're 7-9, are on national TV. Have 5 primetime games in a season. I do think you saw it this year, but especially going forward, that the Chiefs are going to have the full allotment every year because, as Pete was saying, yeah. I think we were on here last week. They're clearly setting Mahomes up to be kind of like the face of the league, like the next face of the league.
Yeah. Even when they lose, the games are fantastic.
Yeah, they're the best game. I would argue on like from a football perspective, 3 best games of the season: Chiefs, Patriots, Chiefs, Rams, and even Chiefs, Chargers.
They're all great.
If you looked at the Pro Bowl announcement when the NFL announced the Pro Bowl, the first sentence was Patrick Mahomes is playing for the AFC, the commercials were so there. I mean, obviously, if the Chiefs were to go on a run here and be in the Super Bowl, he wouldn't be there. But as soon as they're out, I think they're gunning for Patrick Mahomes to be the face of the Pro Bowl to get people to watch.
Yeah. If they don't make the Super Bowl, he's going to dominate Radio Row. He's going to be advertising anything from broccoli to Volvos. It's going to be like
he's going to be doing that no matter what. Maybe not on Radio Row, but this offseason, I feel like we're going to get a little bit of Peyton Manning.
Well, his agent, Lee Steinberg, tells me the Patty Flakes is something that's going to happen.
And I'm buying Patty Flakes. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'll buy a box to eat and a box to keep. No, I'm serious.
Just one box to eat?
No, yeah, one box. Well, I mean, if they're good, I'll go get more. But, you know, I'll at least give them a shot. You know, but I got to have one, you know, as a momentum. You know?
Every morning, Patty Flakes.
I got my Billy Butler barbecue sauce. Christian Colon had his barbecue sauce. I got a couple bottles of that.
You got a fan cave? The Brad Fanning?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I do. I got a bunch of really good stuff. I actually stole some sand from the Ryder Cup when I was there. I've got that. I happened to be in the dugout, in the Astros dugout after Game 4 when the Royals came back and got them. And they were so pissed that they just left and went into the clubhouse. And there's a bunch of really good stuff laying around that dugout that I got my hands on. So, yeah, I come up with some things. I got some stuff down in my man cave.
Did not realize you were such a crook.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just laying there. You know, just laying. The bad part was I missed out on some smelling salts that were laying around there. I really wanted to get my hands on that, and some photographer got them before I could get
them. I've got coasters that is the old Chief's turf. It's been in the coasters.
Oh, no kidding?
Yeah, I actually purchased them. I didn't steal them.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Big difference between you two.
No, it's not like I'm going in there shoplifting.
I purchased the coasters.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
They're nice coasters, Pete.
You would be a very good looter, I would imagine, case of a national emergency. Different.
He's so small, different. You can't see him.
Oh, my God. What's this Eric Berry thing, man? Is he going to play? What the hell's going on
I thought we got over this a couple of weeks ago.
No, I mean, Pete, you and I were on this a long time ago. I've always prefaced it by saying this. It pains me to be critical of Eric Berry. It really does, because I have a lot of respect for him, and especially the way he played and the things he's been through and the type of leader he is. Didn't play last week. Do we expect to see him? And if so, what do you think the impact's going to be?
I'm shrugging my shoulders right now for those who don't see me.
Yeah. It's not good radio.
Who
it really is.
Who knows? You know, I thought we were over this like 2 weeks ago whenever he came back. And it felt like in terms of frustration from fans, it felt like when he didn't play last week, it was kind of a turning point. Like there was a lot of fans really frustrated. Like, okay, like what's the deal on a long, frustrating season already? Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I guess like if I'm guessing, I guess he'll come back. Because there didn't seem to be any indication this was, you know, he's done for the year or anything like that. They still, haven't made a roster move or anything along those lines. So I'll expect him back. But, I mean, I have no idea. Does anybody have any idea?
No. That's why I'm asking you guys.
No.
Like,
it's a coin flip because you look at last week, and unfortunately what last week became for the Chiefs was a must-win game. I mean, you need the number one seed at that point. So everyone, it basically is the equivalent, I think, of a playoff game. I understand it's only the Oakland Raiders. Anything can happen on any given Sunday. I mean, that's a cliche that you hear in the NFL, but it's true. So with him not playing in that game, I think it's uncertain whether he'll play. I mean, because you would have thought before, well, there may not be a tomorrow type deal. He'll definitely play. I don't know if that's necessarily the case anymore. If his setback was so bad where the pain or whatever it is intolerable, I think you may not see him.
Oh, now who's laughing now there? You all right there, Pumpkin?
Excuse me. They would have won the Chargers game.
Don't try to play off that cough, man. You're making fun of me.
They would have won the Chargers game if Berry wasn't on a snap count, because he would have been out there directing traffic and Mike Williams would have been wide open. That Eric Berry plays the end of that Chargers game when he was pulled in the Seahawks game and they scored that final touchdown when he wasn't out there. I mean, it he does make a difference.
Berry is good. I mean, they lost to the Chargers by a point. Berry is good for at least 2 points, you would guess.
I would tell you this much. I'm just going to throw this out there, and maybe it sounds a little crazy. Pretty sure the dude that caught the two-point conversion would have had a guy on him if Eric Berry was out there.
Maybe, fair enough, maybe even Eric Berry.
I mean, safe to say.
I don't know if they're even in that spot. You know,
I know,
because they were up by what, 14 with 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which our various tell Brooke Pryor, I like when Barry's out there
because he shows him what to do. And that quote, it's a little bit tough to gauge what signals he's talking about. Because
Bob was mixed up as hell when he tried to answer that.
It could be offensive signals. It could be, you know, if it is, you know, your own defensive personnel signals, then I think that's one thing. But yeah, not a good look in general for sure.
It was a terrible quote. And Bob Sutton was trying to explain it. I'm like, and then there's BJ sliding right in. How about Chris Jones?
A couple more, guys. Let's wrap this thing up.
Get out.
You guys are getting too much information out there.
Ted Cruz pushing you out
two
the front
more,
door.
Couple more. Come on. Couple more, guys.
BJ, and then we'll wrap it up.
I will tell you this, and we got about a minute to go with you guys, but at first, the Charvarius Ward, Tremont Smith thing, I'm like, what are we doing? Andy wanting to see his young guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of getting on board with it.
Yeah, I came back around too.
Me too. I'm like, okay, I get it. Skandrick's been getting toasted. You know, they've been having issues. He's been thrown on. And even in that Seattle game, those guys had some pretty good coverage on some big plays, but they were there.
I came back around because I think what I realized as they kind of explained it and it made more sense is you look at Ron Parker, you look at Orlando Skandrick. Skandrick was out there. Ron Parker was out there. I don't know if they'd be on another roster in the league if they were free.
That was the reason why he was released and released again.
And Ron Parker was here. He's here because he knew the system. Yeah. These are the last games of Parker's career, maybe for Skandrick. So
I get it.
Take the guy with upside.
Mm-hmm. The Chiefs led the NFL in sacks, tied with Pittsburgh. Your secondary should be good when you have a pass rush like we do. They should be good because the quarterback doesn't have the time. I mean, these things go hand in hand. The secondary is improved by a good pass rush.
If you're the linebackers and Chris Jones, I mean, we just grab like the D-backs and the safeties and just give them swirlies and snuggies.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
That's
like,
what I'm
going
to do to you
on a
commercial break.
Do your job.
Go have a peanut.
I'm going to give him a swirly at the commercial break.
No, you're not, Binkley. I can outrun you. Guys, thanks for coming in. Appreciate
it. It's fun. Talk to you soon.
That's Joel Thorman. That's Pete Sweeney from Arrowhead Pride. We do it each and every Wednesday at 3 o'clock. When we come back, tell you why I'm not feeling so hot about this division playoff game in Kansas City. Stay with us.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form the Shutdown Fullcast.
Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears and video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.